In college, I thought I was a pretty deep thinker. I took Intro to Philosophy and Social Problems in America. I debated the existence of extraterrestrial life at 2 a.m. and how maybe time was like a burrito folding over on itself, and that's why there was deja vu. This all seems like pretty harmless undergrad stuff. But my college friends looked worried when I said that my personal beliefs could be summed up by a Chumbawamba song. Chumbawamba put out this song called Tub Thumping. And it goes, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I thought this was pretty profound stuff. Now, Chumbawamba is an English anarchist band. But somehow they put out this silly pop song, and at the time I didn't realize it's a song about getting really drunk and falling over and then getting back up and then falling over again. This was not life philosophy stuff, but at the time I thought, this was really smart. I get knocked down and I get up. Nothing's going to keep me down. The wisdom of 18. Well, at 19 I had figured out the meaning of life, and it happened to be from a pop song. But rather than my personal philosophy and theology post-seminary becoming very deep and full of little bits of Nietzsche and maybe a quick dose of Latin and Greek words, maybe a little irony for fun, well, it's actually become even simpler than the Chumbawamba song. And it's still in song form. My new life philosophy is, we all fall down. Yep, Bring Around the Rosie birthed my personal mantra, the phrase I say to myself over and over again. Now, I've heard the notion that the song Ring Around the Rosie is actually a song about the Black Plague, about the rose-colored freckles that appear on your skin when infected, but that's not where we're going today. We're just sticking with this. We all fall down. You see, in my life, and maybe in yours, I tend to be surprised when I mess up, or when the world messes me up, or when I fail, or love fails, or systems fail. I think life is supposed to be pretty reliably perfect, and then it falls apart. Perhaps this is the curse of being an optimist. Perhaps it's just human nature, but I'm so shocked when things fall down. The first of the Four Noble Truths in Buddhism is that life is suffering. It sounds super depressing. But the truth is, the life involves a lot of suffering. We are young and not in charge, and we just want to grow up. And then we're older and we're in charge, and I do not want to be in charge anymore. Our bodies age. We get achy and creaky. People we love more than we thought it was possible to love anybody else but ourselves, they get sick and they die unexpectedly and expectedly. We don't know what we want. We get what we want, but it's not what we thought we wanted. We get what we want and it's not so great. Life involves a lot of suffering. It isn't because we're sinners. It isn't because we fell short of the glory of God or rule book. The great Buddhist teacher Pema Chodron writes, even if you were the Buddha himself, even if you were a fully enlightened person, you would experience death and illness and aging and sorrow at losing what you love. All these things would still happen to you. If you got burned or cut, it would still hurt. Even the enlightened suffer. In my final year of college, I had the sweetest life. I lived in a big, creaky old house with six friends, and I slept in the attic under a gabled roof. And I loved to lay on the bed and listen to the rain and pretend I was a French poet just dying of malnourishment in some Parisian apartment, in some black and white movie, you know, with the dark lipstick. And I had it made. My favorite professors taught all my classes. My best friends were right down the hall, and we had this wide front porch. And we would sit out there and study and drink this terrible Carlo Rossi wine that came in a jug. And we just thought we were so European, drinking wine during the day. But around Halloween, I started to feel weird. I felt odd and nervous and sick to my stomach all the time. And I ignored it, but it got worse. My heart raced, and I was sweaty a lot, and I felt terrified of nothing at all. the kind of panic you would feel if you were walking up a trail and a bear crossed the path. But there was no bear. Just me, not living a very scary life. Where was I going wrong? So this was in the 90s, and I had never heard of anxiety disorder. And this was before Oprah talked about panic attacks, before TV commercials for pharmaceuticals listed the symptoms you might have if you had anxiety. This was before I could self-diagnose myself on WebMD. I thought I was losing my mind, and I wasn't going to tell anybody about it because it seemed like, well, gosh, I would sound as crazy as I felt. I tweaked my diet, and I tried to get more sleep, and I drank less alcohol, and I exercised a lot more, but nothing really changed. Over Thanksgiving break, I was back at home with my parents, and I literally just fell apart at the seams. Everything just came apart. I cried for an entire week straight, which my parents did notice. It turned out I wasn't keeping that a secret. And they were really worried. I didn't sleep more than an hour or two at night, and I couldn't keep any food down because I was so nervous. I went to my primary care physician, who said the word depression, which sounded accurate, but then said this word psychiatrist, which sounded really, really terrifying. And she kept telling me, not just crazy people go to psychiatrists, plenty of regular folks, plenty of deep-thinking college kids go to psychiatrists. But why was this happening to me? She couldn't explain that. What did I do to deserve this happening to me? The smoke really makes it hard to talk very long. The psychiatrists were all overbooked, of course, and I couldn't get in for a full month. I didn't go back to college. I just stayed home and ignored the calls from my friends asking where on earth I was when I didn't come back. And I didn't sleep or eat very much at all, and I cried every day. I had no idea my body could contain that much liquid. It was all coming out. I didn't know where they were all coming from, these tears. And it was always dark outside, even when it was sunny. It was completely dark, and nothing tasted good, and nothing at all was funny. My parents plied me with my favorite foods, my favorite movies, my favorite games. These are all things I really love. But there wasn't any joy anywhere, not even satisfaction. I was down a well, and it was getting deeper, and I could barely hear outside voices anymore. So I went to the psychiatrist, who was a very nice elderly man. I would be his last new patient of his career, the last year he practiced before retirement. He said he would get me fixed up quick, that the right pill would get me back to school in time for a happy Christmas, in time to start my next semester. The pill made me feel weird, like my skin was too sensitive, like my mouth was full of sand. I didn't come out of the well. I still cried all the time. So weeks passed, and we tried another pill, a different pill. And I gained some weight, but I still never ate anything, and I slept a lot. Way too much, 16, 17, 18 hours a day. And the walls of the well were still really high. I still couldn't hear anything, and life continued in the dark. I felt like I couldn't breathe. A very old pill was tried. The doctor said this pill would stop a freight train. I didn't sleep 15 hours anymore, but I was dopey all the time. I was kind of dazed. I was kind of stoned, frankly. I couldn't hold a conversation. I couldn't follow the plot of sitcoms on television. It was very confusing. I wasn't sad. I just didn't feel anything. I was just out of it. I have no recollection of this month at all in my life. It's all hearsay. I remember nothing. It's like it didn't happen. So my life was dull. I woke up sad, I was depressed at this long day stretching out ahead of me. I killed time with group therapy and walking on the treadmill and watching terrible daytime TV. If you're depressed, they should have a special station that isn't regular daytime TV. It's just cruel to make you watch that junk. I went to tons and tons of therapy, so much therapy. And I kept saying, so am I ever going to really get better, or is this it? And the therapist would say, of course you're going to get better. Millions of people go through this every year. And I would look at her like, mm-hmm. Because if millions of people went through this, it would be on the news. This is terrible. It's an epidemic. Are you kidding me? This happens to other people? That can't be right. I felt guilty all the time. I felt guilty that I had to borrow my parents' car to get to therapy, that they were so worried about me. My journals from that time read, "I am worthless," over and over again. Ugh. So around Easter, I started a pill that started to work. I was alert, but I wasn't miserable, which felt amazing. Being not miserable was fantastic. It was like I won the Nobel Prize and the Pulitzer Prize and the lotto in the same day. I remember calling my dad at work and saying, "Dad, I'm not crying." And him being like not at all? Like he couldn't believe it. It was a big deal. A month later, I was eating and laughing and teasing my family again, and I was bored out of my mind. I was sleeping at night. I was ready to go back to school. I was ready to begin life again. But the question remained, and I wrestled with it for years, what had I done to deserve this? I wasn't religious at the time, but still, it was in there. Where had I gone wrong? Because to have this plague of mental illness, I must have done something. I must have sinned somehow to have this, you know, this effect from a, there must have been a cause. So here's the thing. We all fall down. Sometimes life is awful, and it's too hard, and it is ridiculously, ridiculously unkind. Okay. But nothing we did made it that way. If you're walking down the street and a piano falls on your head, Bugs Bunny style, it isn't because you were rude to your spouse yesterday. No angry God is in the sky counting up the times that you were impatient with your kids or the number of times you take an apple core and put it in the garbage even though the compost bin is only 10 feet away because you don't want to empty it again. I didn't fall into depression because I did something wrong. Depression, like any kind of suffering, just happens sometimes. Realizing that I didn't somehow earn it, that every day bad things happen to good people, cracked my heart wide open. I realized people who were suffering didn't bring it upon themselves. They hurt like I hurt. Empathy and compassion. Recognizing that being alive means sometimes that life is crazy hard. It's not like I instantly reached enlightenment here, but the sense that I had control over my fate or control over anything really just fell away. It was terrifying, but exhilarating. I could live a perfect life. I could give away every cent to charity. I could be endlessly kind. I could compost everything. And still the piano could fall on my head. I could get knocked down by depression. People I love could die, have died, will continue to die. Eventually, hopefully when I'm very, very old, I'll get knocked down and not get up again. But the thing is, I could begin again, life minus depression. I had a new freedom in my soul, a freedom that comes from knowing I'll fall again, and that we all will, and that it isn't our fault. It's a kind of protection, isn't it? Thinking that folks who suffer have somehow brought it upon themselves. That homeless people are really just lazy, and if they got jobs, they could have places to live. That anyone with a disease should have done yoga or eaten probiotics or done whatever special thing, gluten or something, some special thing, some virtue that would have kept them healthy. That the abused spouse somehow likes being knocked around or controlled. These crazy notions are a kind of spell that we hope will ward off misfortune. If I imagine where someone else went wrong, and I avoid doing what they did, then it won't ever happen to me. I'll never be abused or sick or homeless. We're all guilty of this kind of thinking now and again. But when we sit with true discomfort long enough, when we look at it honestly enough, we realize all the whys fade away. When we are the one who is sick, it's plain. Life involves suffering for everyone, even for the enlightened, even for the Buddha. It's a tremendous relief to realize that we all fall down. We are bound together in our brokenness. It unites us. We all feel pain. The piano could fall on any of us at any time. Let your heart crack open. We all fall down.